works without being merciful. In fact, his mercy was being manifest in causing them to turn, leaving the righteous one, the self-righteous one, blind. So the righteous, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sent. But I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. That's what James said. You can be obedient to the whole law, but if you violate one point, you're guilty of all. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, there's a message here to those sinners that when God brings that arrow home to the heart, and you read that, when I say unto the wicked, God calls you to see, I am that wicked one. And we understand the command, thou shalt surely die. That's a sentence of death. Yet, in turning from his sin, who turns the sinner from his sin, but God in his grace and mercy, and do that which is lawful and right. What is lawful and right but to come to Christ? If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That's what Zacchaeus thought of when the Lord came his way and said, Zacchaeus, come down, the day salvation has come to your house. And he immediately thought, well, I'll just make everything right. And the Lord told him, said, no, I've already made everything right. I'm coming to your house. How is it that all of this is fulfilled for a wicked one other than in the righteousness of Christ? None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him.
So as you read about this Nazirite vow, you can see this fulfillment in Christ. And that's what I rest in. I don't have to go through all kinds of ceremonies and things now in my lifetime and set apart times of fasting and all these things that people do to try to, you know, implement the Old Testament. They go and say, well, this is what the Old Testament teaches. Again, I say to you, if that's what you're basing your life and conduct on, you're bound to keep the whole law. And that's what Paul said in Galatians. Cursed is the man. Cursed is the one who keeps not the whole law. You know what it's going to take for you to be in heaven? Perfection. Perfection. You say, where am I going to get that? Right where I'm telling you. In Christ. In Christ. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 2, you see, here it's all put together. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. I was separated in that election. Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's regeneration. Set apart by the Spirit. But look at here, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I was separated unto that sprinkling of the blood. Is that blood being sprinkled over and over again? No. When it says unto obedience and sprinkling, you often hear me talking about the blood and righteousness of Christ. Here it is. That sprinkling of the blood was once for all there when he died. That obedience was obedience unto death. And when the Spirit of God separates me unto Christ, he separates me unto that which Christ has accomplished. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't fulfill anything. Faith doesn't accomplish anything. Faith doesn't appropriate anything. What it does is looks to Christ and what he's accomplished. It submits to his righteousness. It rests in what he has accomplished. How am I going to do that? Well, the Spirit of God.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. That's talking about Christ. He's the good man. But an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil. It's a reminder that apart from Christ, there's nothing but evil. But here he is. I say unto you, verse 36, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And I used to worry about that. I was preached like, you better be careful what you say, because even your idle words are going to be held against you. But that's not what Christ is saying. He's talking about a generation that was already under condemnation, and that in spite of all of the Spirit's, the evidence that the Spirit gives, because remember, this is the sin against the Holy Spirit. This word is the Spirit's testimony. Not to believe this word is to sin against the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of being afraid and thinking, well, I think in so many ways in my life I've spoken against Christ, I've done that, which is wrong. That's not what condemns a sinner. What condemns a sinner is that this word tells us that there is no righteousness other than in the person work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to try to come in any other way. See, had this Amalekite truly been drawn by the Spirit, he would have come in true repentance and bowed himself and not spun a story about Saul, but identified with David in mourning this death. And yet he came in other ways.